I'm rewinding your message, preparing it for playback.
All right, Judge, one second. I have a quick, I don't even know how to do this. Gina, let me holler at you behind the scenes. Give me just one second. Judge and Professor Smalls, we have Dr. Umar Johnson, who just called in, 215-989. Welcome, Dr. Umar Johnson, to the call. How are you doing today?
Peace and love, Queen. Greetings to the judge. Greetings to everyone on. I just wanted to listen in and hear the wisdom. I'm currently in transit, so I won't be able to contribute to the conversation too much, but I'm definitely here to listen in. And whenever you're ready, Queen Valerie, just let me know, and we can schedule my return to the show. Brother Maurice, I spoke with him earlier. Shout out to Brother Maurice. He told me about today's show, so I'm definitely going to hang on as long as I can. I do have a meeting, but I'm going to hang on as long as I can. But please do let me know when you would like to have me back on the show. And, of course, I want to let your listeners know that I will be coming to Florida next weekend, the 30th and 31st, Jacksonville on Friday, August 30th, and Orlando, Florida, Friday, August the 31st. And they can get information on my website, drumarjohnson.com.
All right. I appreciate that, and I will definitely talk to you behind the scenes. Thank you so much for that.
Thank you.
The Judge Joe Brown Show, presented by Valerie Denise Jones. Uncensored truth with a legal twist. Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 929-477-1167. Now, welcome your host, the celebrity consultant, Valerie Denise Jones.
We are back. The Judge Joe Brown. I am Valerie Denise Jones. It's Friday. It's Friday, a few minutes after 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I hope you learned a lot during the first half. There's a lot that we need to discuss. There's a lot we don't need to talk about for the judge. I appreciate his honesty. Always, always, definitely that. 929-477-1167, 929-477-1167. At this time, we're going to shift gears to a little promo for an upcoming event. And so what I want to do is, Judge, if you don't mind, 240-540, I'd like to introduce you to one of the guests, 240-543, your mic is live. Hello?
Hey, hi. This is Eitan Mohammed, president and CEO of the Real Hip Hop Network and Real Star Communications. How are you, Valerie?
I am blessed. Thank you so much. I didn't want to butcher your name. So it's Eitan Mohammed, correct?
Eitan Mohammed, yes.
Okay, great. Well, welcome, welcome. Do you have a little background noise? Is that you, or is it because I've got a bunch of mics open?
That may be me. Hold on one second.
All right, all right. Appreciate that. All right, Judge, so we got Mohammed. Yes, that's good. We got the judge on the line. I think Professor Griff, Professor James Mall is still hanging out with us. And we also got our callers, listeners, hanging out in the background. But welcome, Mr. Mohammed, to the show. Appreciate you so much. So I'm going to give you an opportunity to go on and introduce yourself and then do some promo for your upcoming event.
Yes. All right. Well, first, thank you for having me. I'm a big fan of Judge Joe Brown and also, you know, our great wise elder, Professor James Small. Both gentlemen are very esteemed and men worthy of respect and honor in our community, and I just wanted to be able to start with saying that. I am the CEO of Real Hip Hop Network, the first 24-hour TV network geared towards real hip-hop lifestyle and culture. We also operate on a TV streaming service called Real Star Communications. We'll be the first black-owned company to be able to deliver 5G communication service, smart home automation, and technology to underserved cities around America. We have partnered with the African Union and Ambassador Arikana Shehimbori Kwayo. She is the African Union Ambassador to the United States, and she has incorporated a movement to be able to unify Africans on the continent with Africans in the diaspora, to be able to link us to the opportunity for blacks to be able to be financed by initiatives that will basically for the first time allow black Americans to be able to invest directly into Africa and to have Africa to invest directly into black-owned businesses and enterprises in the continent. The initiative is being called the Golden Circle, and it is part of a long-standing initiative of Pan-Africanism going back to 1963 with the Organization of African Unity, where the desire was to be able to bring about a unified Africa for the first time in the history of Africa since colonialism and post-slavery. Africa has erased its borders and have opened up for trade and now has a signed agreement called the African Free Trade Agreement that will open up borders for transcontinental trade without any restrictions on the boundaries of borders. So now they're inviting African Americans to participate in this new Pan-African economy. I was selected as a special liaison to Ambassador Kwayo to be able to assist to bring in awareness to inspired visionary entrepreneurs and business leaders within the African-American diaspora who are interested in supporting their mother continent and being able to gain access to the opportunity for funding for businesses here in the United States. This is one of the first times that we get a chance to be open to the international trade and global borders beyond the United States as a community, and gives us an opportunity to really be able to define ourselves outside of the United States as being connected to a Pan-African whole. So it's something I'm excited to be a part of.
Thank you. Thank you so much for that. Hang tight. Let me see if Professor Smalls or Judge Jabrow would like to lend anything to the topic.
Well, I met with my brother over the phone, and I know of the work of the ambassador, and I've been working in Africa with one business or another for about 35 years. And so I just welcome the initiative that he's bringing forward along with the ambassador. And I'm here to do whatever I can to help make it work, you know.
Hey, sounds
all
like
right.
A great
Thank
thing.
You.
Should I? Sounds like a great thing. Should I say assalamu alaikum?
You should say assalamu alaikum. Alaikum salam, Judge.
All right.
Well, you know, one of the things that I wanted to bring up, because obviously, you know, and Judge, we've had conversations about this many, many times. This is a situation that's coming into play where we, as, you know, black Americans, we see, you know, the appearance of great wealth and opportunity, you know, and there is a lot of that here. You know, African Americans have a $1.2 trillion buying power, which represents about a little under half of the entire gross domestic product of the African continent, all 55 countries. So there's a lot of wealth in the African American community, but we do not have, you know, any control over that wealth. Less than 0.1% goes back into black-owned businesses. So we are a consumer society, And, you know, we are in a situation where we've not established our own economic independence, and we depend on others to be able to take care of ourselves. And we have, you know, this 2020 is coming up. We are either looking for the great Negro savior or the great white hope to be able to find, you know, some type of opportunity for us to be able to, you know, find some solace in some, you know, handout policy instead of looking for an opportunity to be able to take care of ourselves. This initiative is to be able to kind of put us on track to make that happen. And, you know I'm preaching to the choir, but, you know, in a lot of cases we look to, you know, folks outside of our communities to be able to give us the answers to the problems that we really have the wherewithal to take care of if we put our minds, attitudes, hearts, and practices into movement to be able to make things work. You know, we can be able to create our new Wakanda of today. That's what this program is about.
Thank you. Thank you. Judge Maurice, also Professor Smalls, again, just jump in here in about a few seconds. We're going to open up the minds to Big G-Nut. He's going to introduce his project as well. So I just decided to dedicate that last hour to, you know, big shout out since we got so many distractions going on in the media. I thought it was very, very important to take time out to shout out people who are actually doing the ground, who are out here on the ground doing the work. So, Judge and Professor Smalls, let me, 407-308, your mic is live. Do you guys have anything else you'd like to say to add to this edition of the promotion?
Now, well, this is the kind of thing we need to focus on.
Yeah.
This is important stuff.
Yes, sir. So, if I might make a comment, for this, that's small. I'm with the judge. This is what we need to do. The African continent, and they're doing a lot of things. They're not sitting around. There's a move in ECOWAS, that's the West African community of states, to come up, and I think that's about 15 to 20 nations, and they're working, and they're only a few months off of coming up with a single currency for that, for ECOWAS, which is going to challenge European hegemony over the determining the value of their currency, and especially over those states that is controlled by France and who still have France controlling their entire economy by having their money being deposited in French banks, 80% of it. And so we're hoping that that move, which is backed by the African Union, will be successful in the next few months. Ghana is one nation, is looking at tourism in a major kind of way, and Africa having so much that the tourism market, that some people trivialize, but tourism is one of the third largest industries in the world. And so there have been a big move in multiple countries to develop cultural tourism, historical tourism, ecotourism, in a way, in an organized manner, that both the diasporan community and the indigenous communities can take full advantage of the capital that's flowing back and forth. That's between those of us who are African and not necessarily dependent on the capital of these other ethnic nations. So this initiative that the ambassador is talking about, I've heard about it, and I've also talked to my brother about it. It's one that I applaud, and I'm on board to do anything I have to do to assist, you know?
Well, hello? Just to add to it. Oh, go ahead. Maurice, you wanted to get in on that?
Oh, I'm sorry, man. I just wanted to say, first and foremost, hey, how everybody's doing. Greetings, Professor Smalls. Hey, Eitan. Hey,
Maurice.
Hey, Valerie. Just to reiterate, man, thank you guys, you know, for taking time out to come on the show. Like I said, last week, I just had a kind of an awakening myself. Former guest, Miss Gina Price, the head of the African Ancestry, she let me get a free kit, and then I finally, after like 4 months, I finally found out that my people are descended from the Akan tribe of Ghana. So in a way, what Professor Small is saying is kind of really hitting hearts. You know, it's going hard and touching my heart a little, because now I'm highly interested into learning more about you know, my history and where did I come from, and what, you know, what was the patterns that my people went through at the time. So I just wanted, you know, extend. And once again, I'm just, you know, really blessed that I could get you guys to come out here, take your time to check out the show. And we, like I said, we do it every week. So you're more than welcome to come check us out.
Well, I'm glad to be a part of it. This is, I'm telling you, what got me passionate, the whole reason why we started Real Hip Hop Network initially was to be able to challenge the negative stereotypes that are pervasive in media. And, you know, one of the biggest problems is that no matter where you see African people portrayed, you know, the images aren't that flattering, you know, and unless we made moves to be able to control how we were depicted, you know, what images, you know, were depicted of us, and we were protective of that kind of information and how we were perceived around the world, not only could that help advance, you know, the imagery that we had for ourselves, but also open up doors to, you know, how we could be able to achieve beyond, you know, just the visuals of what's provided. You know, case in point, the Black Panther, you know, created a whole new kind of enthusiasm that I'd never seen in the Black community before, based and built around this connection with the African continent and the ability to be able to see us technologically advanced, wealthy, sophisticated, and international players, you know, in a global sense. That is a depiction of Africa that has been atypical to what we've seen from the old Tarzan movies back in the day. And, you know, the African Union, you know, when I had the conversation with the ambassador, she says that the ethnocentrism that's been pushed by the President of the United States was a major catalyst to this movement of unifying the African countries. You know, the President had described the African nations as, his language, not mine, shit countries. And that dynamic, you know, has, ironically enough, pushed a positive movement towards, you know, a real avenue for social change that very few people would see coming. The unity of Black people from the African continent and the unity of Black Americans. I mean, many, and Professor Smalls, you can speak to this, you know, there had always been obstacles to our unity in the past, and being able to see now that there's a active outreach of members from the continent wanting to reconnect with their lost family, you know, here in the United States. You know, the desire for us is to build an independent system, to be able to create, you know, we'll be waiting for hundreds of years if we think that the rich folks in Silicon Valley are going to automatically just discover, you know, young Black business people to invest in. If we don't learn to be able to invest in the genius of our own selves, we'll be waiting forever, you know, to be able to see that equality given to us. It's not something that can be given. It's something that has to be taken. And we have to make those moves for ourselves.
Thank you. And
all
I
right.
agree, Bert. Yeah. You know, what? And looking at Africa in a long-term look, some of the most extraordinary things have been happening. Africa, the incline in terms of industrial development have been going on for about 30 years without a decline. And we haven't been paying attention. Africa's beginning to open up indigenous industry or approaching traditional industry from their indigenous capabilities. And so we see African nation after nation where they're producing their own automobile prototypes. You know, in many cases, they lack the capability to produce that automobile except in South Africa and Egypt and Nigeria. But the prototypes are being done, and these African nations that are capable of producing automobiles are taking advantage of this mind of the young African men and women, scientists. Just the hospitality world, that means the restaurants, the hotels, the travel agency, is a multi-trillion dollar industry. But right now, believe it or not, especially in East Africa, the Europeans have the biggest share of that market. And how do we take that from them? And West Africa, we're doing a better job in developing that market and having it being controlled by Africans. The petrochemical industry, which is extraordinary in Africa. Africa is going to be one of the largest oil petroleum producing part of the world. And contrary to the discussion around the carbon footprint, petroleum isn't going to go out of play for some time to come. A country like Ghana that has bauxite, manganese, gold, diamond, but we don't have the industrial infrastructure that can deal with the manufacturing of this raw material. But we do have the brain power to create the industrial infrastructure if we can bring the technical skills, a lot of which we have here in North America, to partner with our African brothers and sisters on the continent. So there's a lot to be discussed on this, around the things economic, the things political, and the things cultural, and see those things as being bound together. So what the ambassador, she is a courageous woman. What she's doing is extraordinary. Our organization, the World African Diaspora Union, is behind her 100%, and we'll be supporting my brother, your initiative, with her.
We appreciate that, and she wanted to have me send her regrets for not being able to join the call today. She had some pressing matters that she had to deal with that prevented her from being able to join the call. But she wanted me to send her best to Judge Bill Brown and to you, Professor Smalls, as well. And she's looking forward to working with you both in the initiative of us being able to spread the word to the black masses about the initiatives there.
All right, so Mr. Muhammad, go on and give us your website, because I received an email. It had quite a few links in it, links concerning
okay.
Grand Anga Dam, Africa Union, also the Agenda 2063, the Africa We Want. There was also a website, like a plethora of people mentioned. There was a lot there, so I'd like to redirect the energy to your site and, like I said, social media to give additional support so people can go over and find out some information and just peruse the site, get some stuff, make a donation, do some shopping, what have you.
Sure, sure. My site personally for Real Hip Hop Network is rhn.tv. Once again, that's rhn.tv. The African Union website is auwashingtondc.gov. That's auwashingtondc.gov. And in regards to the links, there are several projects that are going to be launched that blacks in the diaspora have an opportunity to be able to participate in and can be able to make a significant amount of money supporting. The Inga Dam is one of the largest power plants ever conceived and developed. Once that power plant is created, it will be able to power all of the African continent plus Europe. and they're giving African Americans in the United States an opportunity to invest in that. There's also the AfroLink project, which, as Brother Professor Smalls talked about, there's a lot of intellectual talent and professionals here in the Americas that can be able to lend aid and support initiatives on the African continent. This AfroLink program is an effort to be able to have a database of business leaders, scholars, intellectuals, professionals of African descent to be able to be on hand to participate in the creation and development of critical infrastructure needs and development needs for the continent, and also to be first sought after for major contracts for resources and programs for economic development for the continent. You can go to the African Union website to be able to find out more information about that. And there will also be more coming pretty soon to be able to tell individuals about how they can be able to individually support the continent through the Afro Bond Program, which is an investment program that will allow Black Americans to be able to invest directly into African projects via a bond that will pay a 5% return that will be held in the African Union Central Bank, the Afro Exim Bank. And there will be also opportunities where we're looking to be able to raise $1 billion amongst the people here in the continental United States to be able to act as an investment fund for opportunities to finance Black-owned businesses here, to be able to, whether or not it's agriculture, technology, healthcare, they want to be able to be in position to match the funds that we can be able to raise for ourselves as well. And this is a unique opportunity where we can be able to operate on a major scale with major funding that could really change the game for us as an economy when we have backing to be able to enter into economic commerce with the proper financial support. So I'm excited that we have all these things available to us.
Your mic is live.
I wanted to introduce Ambassador Ari Kana Kwayo of the African Union to the call. She's a bold sister who has some amazing initiatives that she would like to present to the African diaspora. And I wanted to make certain that I had her meet Judge Joe Brown and Professor Smalls as well. Hopefully Professor Smalls is still on the call.
Yes, sir. I'm still here. And
please,
Ambassador, it's an honor.
Please introduce yourself, Ambassador, and let them know the initiatives that are on the table and a little bit of background about how we got here.
Okay. Hello, to the judge and to the professor.
Hello, Excellency. How are you?
I am doing very well. It's good to meet your president.
Hello, Madam Ambassador.
Yes, my name is Ambassador Dr. Arkana Chiombore Kwao, and I'm the AU ambassador to the AU, standing for African Union Ambassador to the United States, just for the purposes of making sure that we are on the same page. African Union is a union which is similar to the European Union. It's a union of all the 55 African heads of state on the continent of Africa. They were initially created as OAU, Organization of African Unity, back in 1963, when our Pan-African fathers, as we were getting our independence from our former colonizers, realizing that Africa going to the world market as 55 small little economies it was a recipe for failure, which, of course, was by design by our colonizers back in 1884 during the Berlin Conference. They chopped us up into these tiny little countries to see to it that Africa and her children were forever defeated and dominated. So our Pan-African leaders, at the invitation of Emperor Haile Selassie of Ethiopia, they met in Addis Ababa in 1963 and created the Organization of African Unity. The whole purpose of the meeting was to try and reunite Africa and get rid of the borders that were keeping the African countries from moving forward. Unfortunately, the Pan-Africanist leaders who were Kwame Nkrumah of Ghana, we had Guinea, Mali, Egypt, Morocco, Algeria, and Tunisia. There were only seven who said Africa for the Africans at home and abroad, and that African Union was now. Unfortunately, there was a minority. The remainder of the 25 countries who attended the meeting, there were the nationalists who said, let's go slow. So the unity that we were looking for back in 1963 did not occur. And we often say Africa lost when the Casablanca group, who were the Pan-Africanists, lost. However, be it as it may, twice a year, the African heads of state would meet, and the issue of Africa speaking with one voice would be raised, and year in and year out, we failed to get a consensus. But fortunately, better late than never, March last year, the African heads of state finally reached a consensus, and they agreed on a decision which we are now calling the African Continental Free Trade Area. July this year, July 7th to be exact, the 55 African heads of state launched what we are, they officially launched the African Continental Free Trade Area. And exactly 12 months from July, this past July, Africa is going to be entering the world market for the purposes of trade and investment as one customs union, as one Africa, speaking with one voice, one continent. This is monumental. It's something that has never been done in the history of the continent. Finally, the borders that have kept us apart are going to be melted. And this is where I'm hoping that people of African descent can really wake up and listen to what is getting ready to happen to our Africa. Finally, Africa is going to enter the world market as one block. The African heads of state are saying the African diaspora and the definition of African diaspora by the African heads of state is all people of African descent living outside Africa are the African diaspora. The African heads of state through the African Union are saying the wealth that Africa has belongs to its children around the globe and on the continent. We are the inheritors of all those natural resources. What has been happening for centuries, the colonizers have been exploiting Africa. They have intentionally underdeveloped Africa for the purposes of continuing to exploit Africa. Countries like France are taking over $500 billion out of Africa every year. You look at 75% of the natural resources being traded at the London Stock Exchange. They are all owned by companies that own businesses in Africa, and they go back to colonialism. So this African Continental Free Trade Area is now a way that we can equalize the playing field. The heads of state are very clear about one thing. The children of Africa in the diaspora, they must all be front and center of this process. Currently, the billionaires and millionaires in Africa have created an organization called Afro Champions. They are now the official implementers of the African Continental Free Trade Area. They too say, is solely made up of the children of Africa. A And that means the children of Africa in the diaspora, they too must come to the table. Because this is what it's going to take for us to build Africa, one, the Africa that we want, and two, also a sustainable Africa. Because we, the children of Africa, have no issue to exploit our continent, except to say we want to see our continent flourish. The African Union is also saying we want to empower our children around the globe. Because when our children around the globe are doing well, that equates to an Africa that is also doing well. It equates to an Africa that is also respected. Israel, a tiny little country, is as powerful as Israel is because Israeli children are doing well around the globe. And the African heads of state are saying, we want to empower every black person on earth because we can. We are the richest continent on earth. There is not a single natural resource that the world needs that cannot be found in Africa. Fortunately for us, in spite of the exploitation of Africa for centuries by the colonizers, they have only tapped into maybe 10% of Africa's wealth. And every day, our beloved continent, we are discovering more and more natural resources. This continent is a continent that has been endowed with enormous wealth. The children of Africa do not realize that. The rest of the world understands it. The rest of the world right now, they are preparing to take advantage of an Africa that's now going to be wide open. You can register your business in one country, and you are free to expand to the rest of the continent. We are creating an economy that's $2.5 to $3 trillion combined GDP with a workforce on the continent of 1.27 billion people. This is a position that the rest of the economies, the rest of the countries around the globe are very envious of, but will not tell us that they wish they could be where Africa is today. Well, I was sent here, one, to be sure to let the children of Africa know, all people of African descent, to say, Africa is home, and that you are welcome to come home. Secondly, to spread the news about what is getting ready to happen to our Africa. So while the rest of the world is strategizing on how to get into Africa, we have the record applications for embassies in the history of the continent. Some countries are opening 20 to 30 embassies a year just to get ready for what is getting ready to happen in Africa. But I have a message to give to the African diaspora that you must not, cannot, and will not be left behind. That you must be front and center of the change that's getting ready to happen in Africa. You don't go to France and find black people in front of the line. You don't go to Mexico, you don't go to India, you don't go to Europe and find black people in front of the line. Cannot, must not, and will not have non-black people in front of the line when it comes to the implementation of the African Continental Free Trade Area. This is time for black people around the globe. It is time for us to restore our Africa to the glory that it used to be. The time is now. And that is only going to happen if the rest of us understand that this is do or die time and that the only thing we have to do to accomplish this is for us to come together and speak with one voice as children of one mother Africa. On that note, the Afro Champions are now going to be launching the Afro Champions chapter in the USA. We are going to be having an event at the United Nations. We are looking at the 27th of September, where we are hoping to have the millionaires, the billionaires in the diaspora, so they can have a briefing about what is getting ready to happen in our Africa. We are saying, if you are not a millionaire, we would want for you to have an opportunity to become one. Do like they do. They come from Europe. They are coming from China to Africa to become millionaires, billionaires, and trillionaires. So we want to make millionaires out of those who are not millionaires. We want to make billionaires out of millionaires. We want trillionaires out of billionaires and multi-trillionaires out of who? Those who are already trillionaires. Because what is in Africa belongs to the people of African descent. That is our inheritance, and we must guard it and protect it viciously. No more can Africa continue to be exploited. We are not sitting around anymore and watch them steal from us what is rightfully ours. We are not going to sit around and allow them to keep telling us that we are inferior to them. A flat-out lie. Whoever told you that black people are equating to the devil? Who said the devil was black? We are talking, we have been subjected to lies that has made us feel inferior to the rest of the world. We are waking up and saying enough is enough. Those years of being lied to are behind us. The children of Africa are rising. Africa, the sleeping giant, is rising. And along comes the children of Africa at home and abroad. And so I'm here to tell you that I was sent to take people of African descent. In my case, in the Americas, I was sent to bring you guys home. And that's what I intend to do. And to my fellow African-Americans, I say, forget the 40 acres and a mule. There is 1,000 acres and 1,000 mules waiting for you back home in Africa. And that is the message I have for my brothers and sisters. Thank you.
That was well said, Madam Ambassador. Very well said.
That's very good. Madam Ambassador, since I have you on the line, I'd like to say to you what I brought up when I thought you weren't going to be on. Please.
Wait, Judge, one second. Yes. Judge, one second. It's going to shut us off in 60 seconds. So you got exactly.
Okay. It won't take but 10, 15 seconds to read it. Please be aware of possible efforts by Oppenheimer De Beers directed towards sabotaging an African Union unless it's formulated on their terms. You know, that's the diamond monopoly enabled by the English minority. This is Judge Joe Brown. So I'm pleased to meet you.
Same here. Thank you so much for all you do.
Okay.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, Tom.
Admonition in mind, please.
The Judge Joe Brown Show, presented by Valerie Denise Jones. Uncensored truth with a legal twist. Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 929-477-1167. Or visit MissValerieDeniseJones.com for details. Want to know more about big media? Tune in every Tuesday and Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern. And don't forget to subscribe to our channels.